Have you ever enjoyed some special, intimate fellowship with dear friends in the Lord? Do you know that God Himself invites us to have fellowship, koinonia, with Him?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is Michael Brown. Thanks so much for joining us in what I trust is going to be a really special series of broadcasts this week as we'll be coming your way live from Vishakhapatnam, India. Those are sometimes among the most very special broadcasts we have during the entire year. And if I could just ask you to lift up a prayer for me, as you're listening to this broadcast, I should be en route to Vishakhapatnam in the state of Andhra Pradesh, the east coast, south side of India. The ministry we work with there has planted more than 6,000 churches in unreached tribal regions. They have a hospital they've built, children's homes, orphanages, schools, the nursing school. They have a special school for training those who are handicapped to have skills. And they have schools for training people for ministry, young men and young women for ministry. And we come every year. It's basically 21 straight years now since 1993. We come and I have the joy and honor of presiding over the graduation and preaching and ministering to these precious men and women who will literally give their lives for the gospel. Some have been beaten. Some have even been martyred. And it's all about Jesus. And I tell you, when I get in that environment, nothing else really matters. You know what I'm saying? You're away from so much that you're used to being around, and everything is reduced to what really matters: making Jesus known, making disciples, seeing Him exalted. What a privilege, what an honor. So if I could just ask you to pray from the moment of leaving my house to the time of my arrival and final destination, including having to spend the night in Mumbai, India, between flights. It takes about 40 hours on this trip. I've got some extra layovers. And then when I get there, I have a few hours to rest in the afternoon and then start preaching at night. And then after that, get back to my hotel. It should be between 12:30 and 2:30 in the morning to bring the broadcast live to you from India, which I love to do. And it's just very special for many, many reasons. So if you just pray for rest and grace on the trip. We have a team that'll be joining us as well, traveling separately and joining me in India. So just pray for grace on us. I really do appreciate it. And I want this week of broadcasts to really count. And I'm getting into the contents of my book, Authentic Fire, A Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. The book will be printed while I'm in India, and we'll be shipping them out, within little over a week. That's our hopeful timetable. You can also get ebooks as well. I'll tell you about that later on in the broadcast. But this is, on the one hand, a response to my esteemed colleague, Pastor John MacArthur, but the book is a standalone book in and of itself. If you haven't followed the controversy at all, if you're not even concerned with that, but you just love the Word and you're hungry for more of God, I believe this book will help you go deeper in God. And there are 10 chapters and then 4 appendixes to the book. The entire book, 420 pages. God gave me grace to write, edit, annotate about 350-plus pages of material in 3 weeks. And one of the chapters that thrilled my heart, as I wrote it, I was getting stirred. The quotes I was putting in there, the scriptures I was looking at, it was stirring my own heart. And the chapter is called, it's the 9th chapter of the book, A God to Be Experienced. And yes, without doubt, the Word of God is the foundation for our lives. It is through the written Word of God that we learn who God is and we understand who He is. But I want to say plainly that God has not called us into a relationship with a book, but into a relationship with Himself. As some have said, the Bible does not speak of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible speaks of having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? We'll talk about it when we come back right here.
Give
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What does it mean to have Jesus as our closest and best friend? What does it mean to relate to God as Abba, Father, in the most intimate sense of the word? What does it mean to enjoy fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. I'm not taking calls today. Later this week, God willing, I'll be taking your calls live from India. In fact, as you're listening to this, I should be en route to India from leaving my home to arriving at my final destination, right about 40 hours of travel with overnight in Mumbai in the midst of it, and traveling with my portable radio studio so we can broadcast live from India. So thanks for your prayers and for standing with us. You know, it's an honor that I get to go and pour into these men and women of God every year in India and pour into grads from the discipleship training schools who will now go out and plant yet more churches, add to the 6,000 churches that they have planted in the last 25 years in India. They get enriched, they're blessed, but let me tell you, I get enriched, I believe, far more. I'm impacted by their lives far more. And it strips away so many of the unnecessary things that occupy our attention and brings us to the fundamentals of knowing Jesus and making Him known. I want to take you into the contents of my book, Authentic Fire. The 9th chapter of the book is called God to be Experienced. And a lot of us hear the word experience and we get scandalized. Oh, you're talking experience, man. We got to base doctrine on the word. Oh, of course. We don't base doctrine on our experience. We don't base our views on God as to whether the hair on the back of our neck stands up or you get goosebumps or no. We base doctrine and our understanding of truth, divine truth, on the scriptures. In fact, Pentecostal pioneer Smith Wigglesworth once said, "I can't understand God by feelings. I can't understand the Lord Jesus Christ by feelings. I can only understand God the Father and Jesus Christ by what the Word says about them. God is everything the Word says He is. We need to get acquainted with Him through the Word." Absolutely. And it is the Word of God that tells us that we can enjoy fellowship with the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says this, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, koinonia, of the Holy Spirit be with you all." We know what it is to have fellowship with friends. You have some friends over, you talk about the things of God, you share your lives together, maybe you pray together, maybe you worship together, and it's warm, and it's wonderful, and it's rich, and it's deep, and there's a certain intimacy experience that you can't experience with those who don't know the Lord. Fellowship. And yet, the Bible speaks of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In my Authentic Fire book, in the chapter of God to be Experienced, I quote from New Testament Greek scholar Daniel Wallace, one of the most respected evangelical Greek scholars in the world, a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, and he's not a charismatic, but he edited a book called Who's Afraid of the Holy Spirit? So for all of you listening who say, hey, I don't believe in speaking in tongues, I don't believe in prophecy for today, this invitation is for all of us. Charismatic, cessationist alike. This invitation is for those who attended the Strange Fire Conference. This invitation is for those who believe Pastor MacArthur's warnings about charismatics are true. And this invitation is for charismatics and Pentecostals. Listen to what Daniel Wallace said. And again, these quotes are all in my Authentic Fire book. "Through the experience of my son's cancer, when he almost lost his boy to cancer, I came to grips with the inadequacy of the Bible alone to handle life's crises. I needed an existential experience with God." You understand what he's saying? that to say, okay, I have the Bible, that's all I need. Again, it's not Father, Son, and Holy Bible, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Bible talks to us about knowing the Lord and walking with the Lord and having fellowship with the Lord and the witness of the Spirit in our lives and peace that passes all understanding and joy, inexpressible joy filled with glory and a love beyond knowledge, a love that's poured out in our hearts. These are things that are not just intellectual. We are to love God, friends, not just with all our minds. It is not just a matter of being cerebrally right and cerebrally related to God. I love mental exercises. I love God with my mind. I don't shut off my mind when I worship, when I pray, when I study. Of course not. But it's not mind versus heart. It's mind and heart. Daniel Wallace said this, "I got in touch with my early years as a charismatic and began reflecting," he's not now, he hasn't been for decades. He said, "I got in touch with my early years as a charismatic and began reflecting on how the Holy Spirit works today. I saw Scripture in a new light and began wrestling with the question, if the Holy Spirit did not die in the first century, what in the world is he doing today?" He said, "While I still consider myself a cessationist, the last few years have shown me that my spiritual life had gotten off track, that somehow I, along with many others in my theological tradition, have learned to do without the third person of the Trinity. But this did not hinder my academic work. Mine had become a cognitive faith, in other words, a merely intellectual faith, a Christianity from the neck up. As long as I could control the text, in other words, understand the Scripture, I was happy. I got into that pattern on a certain level in my own life, the late 70s, the early 80s. I never ceased entirely having certain charismatic or Pentecostal roots, but I got as far away from them as I could and got caught up in the intellectualism of the faith. But it is more than that. It is. Listen, friends, it's not heart only. It's not head only. It's both. And Professor Wallace then gives some insightful theses. He had a longer list. I'm just going to quote part of seven. And again, these are all in my authentic fire book. Professor Wallace said, although the sign gifts died in the first century, the Holy Spirit did not. First point. Second point. Although charismatics have sometimes given a higher priority to experience than to relationship, rationalistic evangelicals have just as frequently given a higher priority to knowledge than to relationship. Three, this emphasis on knowledge over relationship can produce in us a bibliolatry, where it's almost worship of a book and worship of doctrine and worship of truths, as opposed to intimate fellowship with God and worship of Him. For the net effect of such bibliolatry is a depersonalization of God. And then the seventh of his 11 theses, evangelical rationalism can lead to spiritual defection. Just as charismatic extremism can lead to emotionalism and even fanaticism, so also evangelical or cessationist extremism can lead to formalism and even spiritual deadness. So here's my question for you. Are you enjoying real fellowship, real koinonia with God? One dictionary talking about how the Greek words used in the New Testament are used outside of the New Testament, in other words, just in everyday language. It says that the noun, koinonia, like its related verb, is used specially of the closest of all human relationships. That means that the fellowship we enjoy with each other, we should on some level enjoy with the Lord. As John expressed to his readers, 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus the Messiah. So he puts the two things side by side. We want you to have deeper fellowship with us. We want you to have deeper fellowship with one another. Our fellowship is with the Lord. Same word being used. And friends, I want to encourage you not to feel condemned if you say, "Why? I hardly know what that is." Look at it as a divine invitation, and I'll get practical as we go on with the broadcast. We're coming to the end of the year, and I want to ask you to stand with us with a tax-deductible gift, as generous as possible, but whatever you can give, I want to send you as my year-end gift, the Authentic Fire Book. It should be printed while we're in India. You can get ebooks, etc., online, but the only way to get the printed version is through our ministry. It's being printed exclusively as just a special blessing to us from the publisher that we're working with, getting it out really overnight. The book is 420 pages with postage. It's about a $25 value. Yours for your gift of any size. I just ask those who can help with extra to do so. Your tax-deductible year-end gift would really help us. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Thank you so much for standing with us. Much more to come about fellowship with God.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. You know, when I get to meet you face to face, there really is a feeling of friendship, of camaraderie. I've had folks say that to me. They feel as if they'd known me for years. I've had folks say, I consider you a friend, even though we've never met face-to-face. They've never even called into the radio program. They've just heard me on the radio. And even though I can't see you and sit down and talk with you, my feeling towards you is the same, that sense of friendship, camaraderie, enjoying life together in God. The thing that's amazing is God invites us to friendship with him. Friends, as you're listening to this broadcast, I am en route to Visakhapatnam, India, coveting your prayers. If you think of me during the show, later, in the middle of the night, you wake up and you happen to think of me because you can't sleep and you think, wow, he's traveling now. Yeah, I've got about 40 hours from the time I leave my home, some longer layovers on this particular route that I'm taking until I arrive at the final destination in India, get to rest, God willing, for a few hours, and then start preaching at night and then coming your way live from India beginning Wednesday. So we've got some very special broadcasts today and tomorrow. Thanks for praying for me and it as well. We are getting into my book, Authentic Fire, response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. But the book does not go point for point. He said this, I said this. I agree with many concerns that Pastor MacArthur has. I lay out areas where I believe that he has been very wrong in a Strange Fire conference, a Strange Fire book. But the goal of the book is to be constructive and to move us forward. And one of the chapters that thrilled my soul to write, because of what the scriptures say and because of the truths that I was speaking about, it's called A God to be Experienced. We do not base our theology on experience, but certainly our God is a God to be experienced. It is not simply a matter of intellectual pursuit. It is not simply a matter of doctrinal affirmation. I did a talk one night in the city of Charlotte for a citywide unity meeting, young people, 20s, 30s, young career people, college age, they meet together on a weekly basis, and hundreds will come together to worship and hear teaching and do other things outside of that setting. So I came in on one particular night, and I presented passionately why Calvinism is true for about 15, 20 minutes. And then I switched and presented why Arminianism is true for about 15, 20 minutes. And then I explained how, regardless of where we fall on that, here's how we can work together to preach the gospel and win the lost. And a woman came up to me afterwards. I asked the folks at the end, what did they think I actually believed? Because I never said it during the teaching. And I asked the folks what where they thought I stood. And about a third of them, roughly, thought I was a Calvinist. About two-thirds thought I was an Arminian. So they had it right. Well, one woman, the two-thirds had it right. One woman came up to me afterwards. She said, no, you must be a Calvinist. Boy, the way you were presenting things and with the passion. I said, oh, well, I was for 5 years, and I appreciate many things about Calvinism, but I'm not. She said, oh, My husband is so into this now. It's just all he ever talks about. And I said to her with a smile, I said, don't you think Jesus should be all he talks about? And she nodded because she realized what can happen to any of us, that we can get so caught up with a doctrine, with truths about God, that rather than those truths about God drawing us closer to Him, to walk with Him and fellowship with Him and experience His grace and His goodness and His love, and to enjoy friendship with Him, that it can often end up in many ways primarily intellectual, primarily cerebral. In the chapter, A God to be Experienced, I quote from Pastor MacArthur's book, Strange Fire, where he says, the Holy Spirit enables fellowship with God. Amen. And he notes how the Spirit produces in our hearts a profound love for God, how he draws us to the Father without fear, and how we long to commune with him, to meditate on his word, to fellowship with him in prayer. Amen, Pastor MacArthur. I'm absolutely with you. At the same time, Pastor MacArthur has also written this. He said, biblical faith is rational. It is reasonable. It is intelligent. It makes good sense. And spiritual truth is meant to be rationally contemplated, examined logically, studied, analyzed, and employed as the only reliable basis for making wise judgments. That process is precisely what Scripture calls discernment. Well, I agree with so much of what's said. But there's an aspect where God is simply reduced to rational truth, or the Bible reduced to a system of rational truth. And in the Q&A at the Strange Fire Conference, Todd Friel said, let me play devil's advocate. Your problem, Pastor MacArthur, is you like organs and cellos. This is our way of expressing ourselves in worship. What's the problem with our way of worshiping? Speaking of charismatics, and Pastor MacArthur responded, it's mindless emotional hysteria. It's not about worship. Worship only goes high when understanding goes deep. The deeper your understanding of the truth of God, the higher your worship goes. Worship is directly correlated to understanding. The richer your theology, the more elevated your worship becomes. Well, there is truth in that. When we comprehend the glories of the cross, the glories of the love of God, the recognition of the depth of our sin and what God has saved us from and brought us to, of course that heightens our worship. But it's not always a matter of deeper theology that heightens our worship. Sometimes joy just floods our souls because we're children of God and we're forgiven. Sometimes peace just floods our souls because God is with us. Sometimes it's not through intellectual contemplation that we experience worship. When you are expressing love to your spouse or to your kids, is it just based on intellectual contemplation and reflection on the values and merits of this person and the good things they've done over the years? Isn't there sometimes an affection and love that even transcends that? That's part of what I mean about heart and mind. And I want to encourage you, if you have become so rational in your faith that you're almost skeptical of emotions, I want to remind you that God calls you to love Him with your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength, and that many of the expressions we're called to in Scripture are not merely intellectual. They involve the emotion in our worship and adoration with God. I'm just scratching the surface of my chapter, A God to be Experienced, and this is just scratching the surface of the Authentic Fire book. 420 pages, every chapter is standalone. You can read, be edified, be helped. If you haven't followed Strange Fire at all, you'll find the book tremendously edifying. If you've been in the thick of this, it's a must-read for you. We thought we would only be able to get out ebooks so quickly, but our publisher said they can actually print them on demand for our ministry. So while I'm in India, the book should be printed. With postage, it's about a $25 value. I'm simply asking you, be as generous as you can with an end-of-the-year tax-deductible gift, and I'll send you this book as my gift to you. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. 800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, as you listen to this broadcast, I should be en route to India, the midst of about 40 hours of total travel from the time I leave my home to the time of arrival in our destination in Visakhapatnam, India. I covet your prayers during this time. We'll be coming your way, God willing, live from India later this week. We've got a team that will be traveling, meeting with me in India as well. We all covet your prayers. So thank you so much for being part of this trip. I won't be taking calls today, but I am diving into the contents of my book, Authentic Fire, Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, the book is not a point-for-point refutation of John MacArthur's book or the Strange Fire Conference. In many places we agree and I affirm those things. But my book is more a counterpoint, and if you haven't followed the conference at all, you'll find the book tremendously valuable and eye-opening. If you want a point-for-point clear presentation through the Scriptures, why we believe the gifts continue until today, you'll find that in the book. If you want to understand just how we sometimes relate to God differently, kind of right brain, left brain stuff, and how cessationists have something to offer and charismatics have something to offer, you'll see that in the book. If you want to see some of the big blind spots in the Strange Fire movement, you'll see that in the book, but always in a way that's meant to edify, in a way that's meant to build up and not tear down. In fact, I've had a little interaction with some of the people on John MacArthur's team in the last few months, a little by email, some by tweet, some in some other forms, and it hasn't made me feel more distant from them. In fact, as much as I differ with certain of their perspectives, I've felt more camaraderie and fellowship with them because we're one in Jesus. And the thing I want to focus on today is experiencing God. There is a walk with God we are called to have. There is an invitation to know Him and to be with Him, to experience fellowship in the Spirit. And a verse that seems to be one of the most sacred verses in all of Scripture, it's found in Luke 22, verses 15 and 16. Jesus says this to his disciples. He's going to be crucified not long from now. And he says this, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Wow. You know, John 15, Jesus says, "I call you my friends." And he wanted to be with his friends before he suffered. Oh, it was about 30 years ago. I preached a message at our ministry school. We were having an annual seminar. People came in from all over on Long Island. And I preached, and it was one of these moments God moved wonderfully. And immediately after, just ran right out of the meeting, hopped in the car with Nancy and with our daughters who were real young then. And we immediately drove to Brooklyn where we were going to see her family. And I remember as we drove off, I felt this hole. And I realized what it was, that I had experienced something wonderful with these students that I'd become so close with, and we were part of the same family together, and immediately got in the car, and we drove off. Now, of course, I'm with my best friend of all in this world. I'm with Nancy and with our kids, but suddenly we shifted into a different mode. Now we were on our way to see her family. They didn't know the Lord, and that's on our mind. How are we going to minister, and how's this time going to go? And I realized I didn't get to enjoy this time with some of my closest friends in the world. We experienced it together, and we didn't have what we often call the afterglow together. There's something special that we have in Jesus together.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for being part of this special broadcast this week, Michael Brown. Welcome to the program. As you're listening to this, I am en route, God willing, to India, about 40 hours from the moment I leave my home to the moment we arrive at our final destination there. So please, if you think of praying for me, just for grace and strength on the trip. You know, I got back from China 8 days ago, barely 8 days ago, then had a full week back home, and now back on the road. So, you know, times change. It was, 13-hour differential in China, now 10.5-hour differential in India. And I really look forward to coming your way live from India. It's one of the highlights of my broadcasting year. I hope you'll enjoy it later in the week. But I'm not taking calls today, obviously. I'm getting into the contents of my book, Authentic Fire, and talking about a God who can be experienced. Now, would you agree that some charismatics can get too emotional? And by the way, the church where I got saved, one of the young men was telling me that he had literally heard, because it was Pentecostal, that the people were holy rollers. You know, they rolled on the floor and so on. And that they hung from the chandeliers. This was literally what he was told before he came to his first service. He had like Lutheran background, I think, and that was coming to his first Pentecostal service, late 60s, early 70s. And he told me when I met him in the early 70s that he had been told, literally told by other kids in school, that these Pentecostals, they swing from the chandeliers. You know, look when you go in the building. Does it have chandeliers? That's because they swing from the chandeliers. And he was literally told, I kid you not, that the pastor, when he comes in, he jumps up and swings from the chandeliers in the back of the sanctuary, one after the other, like Tarzan, until he makes it to the front. He was literally told this. Okay, so when I say charismatics, it can mean something different to everybody. Just like if I say Baptists or if I say Lutherans or whatever it is that I say, it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But when I say charismatics, I'm talking about charismatic Pentecostal. You know, in our services, we'll raise our hands and worship. Maybe we'll shout to the Lord. We believe in tongues and prophecy and healing for today and so on. Would you agree that in many charismatic Pentecostal services, we can get into emotionalism? What's emotionalism? Emotionalism is a mindless working things up. It is a, come on, let's do it, you know, and everybody gets into a particular thing, and it bypasses the mind, it bypasses truth. It's just like getting people stirred up at like a football game. Yeah, And it's you just get caught up in the crowd mentality. Would you agree that that can sometimes happen in charismatic Pentecostal circles? I would certainly say it can. You know, you play the right music, you play the right beat, you get people going a certain way. It can happen. In the same way, would you agree that in non-charismatic, non-Pentecostal churches, it can often go in the opposite direction? It can go the way of rationalism. It can go the way of coldness. It can go the way of formalism. Look, I've seen that too. We are so cerebral and doctrinal and have our understanding of the word of truth. Yeah, I'm exaggerating the Pentecostal charismatic side a little. Now I'm exaggerating this side a little to make a point. And hey, don't get mad. Look, you were cheering me on the first point. Now you're upset the second, or some were upset the first. You're cheering me on the second. I'm an equal opportunity offender. Okay, I'm speaking the truth to me. I'm speaking the truth to all sides involved here. Sometimes in non-charismatic, non-Pentecostal circles, as Professor Daniel Wallace said, it can be a faith from the neck up. So Pastor MacArthur, in a Q&A section at the Strange Fire conference, said this in the Q&A session. He said, you don't have to turn the music on for me to worship. In fact, I sometimes wish the music would all go away and that I didn't have to deal with sensations along with my thoughts. Now, I don't want to judge his relationship with God. That would be completely out of place. I don't want to judge his fellowship with God, his experience of God. I don't want to say that's strange, that's odd, what he just described. I want to say for me, that's strange and that's odd. And I see a lot of scripture personally that goes against it. Now, is it true that sometimes the music is a distraction? Of course. Especially if it's too loud or out of tune or the sound system's lousy, or you've got, as one leader said years ago, musicians hijacking worship. You know, it's just all about we're going to be so tight and the band's so tight, start tight, end tight, and good solo here. And it's like, okay, that's nice. I'd rather have musicians that can play versus musicians that can't play. But I thought we were supposed to be worshiping with our music, not performing. Yeah, I understand the music can be a distraction, but this idea where Pastor MacArthur says, sometimes I wish the music would all go away, that I didn't have to deal with sensations along with my thoughts. No! Bring it all on! Bring it all on in the full orb worship of God with everything in us, with everything that has breath, with the sensations, with the music, based on truth. And it's interesting that often you have music associated with the Holy Spirit moving. And you know, some people don't understand that. They think, well, you guys just like to sing a lot. Well, nothing wrong with singing to the Lord, right? Especially with good content in the words. That's a wonderful thing to be doing. In fact, we're exhorted to do that all the time in our hearts and to one another. But it's interesting that there are times in Scripture where music brings the Holy Spirit's presence. Could it be because there's an anointing on that music? Could it be because God wired us a certain way to respond to music, like we respond to other stimuli? Think of 2 Kings, the third chapter. The prophet Elisha is in a situation with the godless king of Israel and the godly king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, who wrongly was allying himself with the king of Israel. And he's not comfortable. Elisha's not comfortable with what's happening. And when they ask him to prophesy, he makes clear, look, I'm only doing it because of the presence of the king of Judah here. But what does he say? Bring me a minstrel. Bring me a musician. And as the musician plays, the Spirit comes on Elisha and he prophesies. Remember in 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter, there are musicians that are playing as the prophets travel along together. David has worship and singing throughout the tabernacle. In fact, the Psalms were meant to be sung. Again, I'm not saying this is not real for Pastor MacArthur, but for him, you either have this cerebral type of worship or you have a superficial, mindless hysteria. Deep theological understanding or mindless emotional hysteria. Could it be that there's a happy medium in between those things? Could it be that you can just have an overflowing outburst of love for Jesus, which doesn't always come from deeper theological reflection? Can it be that there's sometimes just spontaneous overflowing joy in response to God's goodness, that sometimes just being in his presence? There's a fellowship and a joy that you can't describe. You know, the church I was saved in, we sang songs like, I come to the garden alone. You remember that? Some of you that are maybe a little bit older, my age and old, you remember this? I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear. The Son of God discloses and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own and the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. No one had explained what that meant to me. When I experienced that joy, when I experienced that intimacy, that's how I got free from shooting drugs. That's how I got free from the abusive, decadent lifestyle I was living. The joy that came out of fellowship with God so transcended everything else that I joyfully left the old behind. I mean, the only way I could explain it to my druggy friends was I've been eating dog food all my life, and I tasted steak. I mean, it was brand new in the Lord, 16 years old, fresh off heroin. That's the simple way I could explain it. The beauty of his presence, there's an invitation to fellowship with him. We come back, I want to tell you an amazing story from my first trip in India all the way back in 1993, 21 trips ago. But you will find the Authentic Fire Book, 420 pages of rich content, printed exclusively for our ministry. With postage, it's a $25 value. I simply want to ask you to be as generous as you can with an end-of-the-year tax-deductible gift to our ministry. Whatever you're able to give, whatever you feel prompted to give, and I want to send you this book as my thank you gift. So stand with us, get a copy of the book, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. We're focusing in on the chapter of God to be experienced. We're going to come back with an amazing story and some rich quotes straight out of the book.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here's an invitation straight from the throne of God. He's saying to each of us, you can enjoy intimate friendship and fellowship with me. An invitation throughout the Word of God from our God. That's why He sent His Son into the world, not simply to save us from sin and hell and destruction and to bring us into His family, but so we could know Him intimately and enjoy Him forever and worship and serve Him. Michael Brown, en route to India, as you're listening to this broadcast, please do pray for grace on the trip and for the team that will be joining me, that there'll be grace to rest, that as we begin ministering not long after arrival, after about 40 hours of travel, that there'll be supernatural grace, empowerment, that the Holy Spirit would be there to move powerfully. And I can't wait, less than 2 days, to be coming your way live from India. In my book, Authentic Fire, Chapter 9 is called A God to be Experienced. At the Strange Fire Conference, Pastor Tom Pennington, in a Q&A session, said, the New Testament shows two groups of people. Those who aren't saved are driven by their feelings and emotions and their body's appetites, and those in Christ are driven by their minds, by their understanding of the truth. Well, yeah, I understand that worldly people bow down to the gods of this age, and that Paul speaks of some whose god is their stomach. And yes, to be driven by feelings and emotions and bodily appetites is worldly and carnal, and will not lead us to God. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. At the same time, the idea that those in Christ are driven by their minds, and that emotions are not included in the statement, that a passionate heart is not included in the statement, that friendship and intimacy are not included in the statement, is very odd to me. Doesn't the truth affect our emotions and feelings? Don't love and fellowship include emotions and feelings? Listen to what W.H. Griffith Thomas said, co-founder with Lewis Sperry Chafer of Dallas Theological Seminary. He says, it is, of course, essential to remember that theology is not merely a matter of intellect, but also of experience. He said, theology is concerned with spiritual realities and must include personal experience as well as ideas. The feeling, equally with reason, must share in the consideration of theology, because theology is of the heart, and the deepest truths are inextricably bound up with personal needs and experiences. Jonathan Edwards said this, true religion consists so much in the affections that there can be no true religion without them. Wow. He says this, he who has no religious affection is in a state of spiritual death and is wholly destitute of the powerful, quickening, saving influences of the Spirit of God upon his heart. And A.W. Tozer wrote this, in spite of the undeniable lukewarmness of most of us, we still fear that unless we keep a careful check on ourselves, we shall surely lose our dignity and become howling fanatics by this time next week. We set a watch on our emotions lest we become over-spiritual and bring reproach upon the cause of Christ, which all, if I may say so, is for most of us about as sensible as throwing a cordon of police around a cemetery to prevent a wild demonstration by the inhabitants. And Sam Storms, Dr. Sam Storms, speaks candidly. He said, there's one more reason why I remained for years committed to the doctrine of cessationism. This one is not based on any particular text or theological principle, yet it exercised no less an influence on my life and thinking than did the other 5 points he previously raised. He said, in mentioning this fact, I'm no way suggesting that others are guilty of this error. It's not an accusation. It's a confession. I'm talking about fear, the fear of emotionalism, the fear of fanaticism, the fear of the unfamiliar, the fear of rejection by those whose respect I cherished and whose friendship I did not want to forfeit, the fear of what might occur were I to fully relinquish control of my mind and life and emotions to the Holy Spirit, the fear of losing what little status in the evangelical community that I had worked so hard to attain. Charles Spurgeon, speaking of a new creation, the born-again soul, he said, it is filled with a divine enthusiasm it once rejected as fanatical. There is an appeal that the Holy Spirit, to love him with intellect and emotions and to experience him. He's safe. He can be trusted. If we dive into the river of his grace, we will not die. We will find abundant life. So, my first trip to India, 1993, this is trip number 21 now, basically one trip a year for 21 years now. We were up in the tribal region called Paderu, a region where hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches have been planted by the ministry that we work with there in India. And in fact, as you stand with us, as you help us with your end time gift, not only are you helping me on this radio broadcast to reach more and more and more people, and you're helping me be a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. Not only are you holding my hands up as we tackle the tough issues with love and with grace, you're also helping me reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're helping us raise up leaders and send them out as missionaries to the ends of the earth. And you're holding my hands up right now in India as I pour into our precious brothers and sisters there. We met a little man named Paul, a godly pastor, who had many unusual experiences with the Lord. And for a season of his life, he got up really, really early in the morning when it was still pitch black. And he went out into the jungle, which was a dangerous thing to do. And he communed with the Lord and enjoyed intimate fellowship with God. And as he would commune with the Lord, God's presence literally came down in the jungle, so a light shone where he was until he got up to leave. The light of God's presence was literally there. One morning, after doing this for consecutive days for some period of time, one morning he got up a little late. It was still very dark when he went in the jungle, but as he got to the place where he had been meeting with the Lord, he looked, and there was the light. God was literally waiting for him. He was so overcome and so humbled, he got on his hands and knees and literally crawled into the jungle to meet with God. And I've never forgotten that story. It's God's heart. He loves to meet with us. He loves to spend time with us. He's a God to be experienced. Well, friends, that's just one chapter. Even that story from India and some others from India are in the book. Many, many more quotes, all in the Authentic Fire book. This is just one chapter of God to be experienced. The book is 420 pages. It's being printed exclusively for our ministry by the publisher to get it out on such short notice. And with postage, it's a $25 value, but it's yours for your end-of-the-year tax-deductible gift of any size. I'm just asking you to do what the Lord lays on your heart to do and be as generous as you can. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. Call right now. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, Jesus says he lays down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for you. He wants to be your very best friend.